Welcome to North Shore News and Interviews on Amherst Island Radio. Each week, we keep you updated on newsworthy events, happenings, and conversations that we've had with people in the local community and beyond.
At a special committee of the whole meeting this week, Loyalist Township discussed its council composition and ward boundary review. Out of two options, it was a close 4-3 vote in favor of option one. The committee will be making their recommendation to council at their May 13th meeting. Option one states that Amherst Island will remain a separate ward, and the rest of the township will be divided into four single-member wards. The proposed Ward 2 is reshaped to include Bath, but also the area south of Millhaven Road, east of County Road 4, and the area west of County Road 4, north to Highway 401. The boundaries of the proposed Wards 3 and 4 are redrawn to more clearly reflect present and future Amherst View neighborhoods, and to improve the boundary of the proposed Ward 3 in the Parrots Bay and Nicholson's Point area by using natural features. The entire northern part of the township is a single ward, covering about two-thirds of the township, with Odessa as the main settlement area. Option 2, which was not chosen, considers reducing the number of local councillors from 5 to 4, with one councillor per ward. It also proposes joining Amherst Island in Bath in the proposed Ward 1. This would also include the area around the ferry terminal. The township's current ward design dates back to 1998, when the municipality's population was approximately 14,500. Today, the population is more than 20,000, with projected growth to over 21,600 within the next 10 years. Since beginning the review, the project has included several phases of public engagement. On October 22nd of 2024, Council received an overview of the project, its legislative context, and key timelines. The first phase of public consultation was conducted in late 2024. In February of this year, an interim report summarizing Phase 1 consultation results and preliminary ward boundary options was presented to Council. Additional public consultation took place from February 19th to March 16th, giving community members an opportunity to voice their input on the proposed options. With the feedback obtained, consultants prepared the two final options. Mayor Jim Hagedorn described the purpose of the project.
This is an exercise to ensure that every area of the township has the opportunity to vote and easily understand the ward they are in. So it's been almost a year of compiling information, interviews, presentations, surveys, calculations, brainstorming, and finally presenting the two options here this evening. This has been a very educational process for me as well. The quality in representation is a great goal, but not the only one. The reason I say that is I was always of the belief that when I was elected in Ward 3, that was my voting base. That is where I place signs. That is where I typically talk to residents during the election period. However, once elected, my work area was Loyalist Township.
Councillor Jake Ennis noted the importance of the review.
While this is a ward boundary review, and much of the focus is on maps and where to draw lines on a map, let us remember that this is more fundamentally about each individual's right to vote, regardless of where the individual lives in Loyalist. And let us ensure that each individual living in Loyalist is treated with dignity, and that each individual's right to effective representation is satisfied to the greatest extent possible.
Councillor Paul Broderick spoke about the importance of representation for community members.
My experience as a councillor, the fact we got three councillors in the one ward, that's not a workable option in my mind. A person should be able to pick up the phone or email and know that one of these people is responsible for this geographical area. I like the idea of a single member ward. I do support that. Old Amherst View has different needs than New Amherst View, just as Odessa has different needs than Wilton, et cetera. Part of, I guess, being in this position is you also have to look out for those who maybe don't have the, I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but the fact that Amherst Island is unique, we should all celebrate that, not just the people that live on the island.
Ennis shared his views on Amherst Island as well.
Amherst Island's a special place. I don't think anybody's arguing with that, but the idea in terms of creating an electoral system, that it is so isolated and culturally distinct that therefore requires over-representation, I have difficulty with.
Hagedorn noted and explained the scope of township council.
I believe every council member works for the entire township, so representation is not for a number of voters. It is for all voters, despite the size of area you are elected to. And I do believe that our council does a good job at that, of working for the township. So council is designed to be aware of principles, policy, limitations of authority, data, and then determine the best fit for everyone within Loyalist. There is more to our township than data. This is evident in the guiding principles. This knowledge of the township the council has is what sets us apart from everyone else that has worked on this project. We take the information and options and make a decision of how best this will work for Loyalist Township.
Councillor Carol Park shared her views on both options and explained which one she was leaning towards.
So I'm not really happy with either one of these options. You know, from listening to discussions this evening, I see pros and cons for both options. And I do acknowledge my colleagues' comments and concerns and the notes that they've raised on it. I'm leaning towards option two. And my rationing is that I just think it's a better option than option one. You know, we all acknowledge that Amherst Island does have some uniqueness to it, and they do have a community of interest in their demographics. I also feel that Bath shares the same thing. So based on that, the fact that representation is being combined into one, I think that uniqueness could be managed by one representative.
Ennis spoke about the discussions and why he was leaning towards option two.
We've had a robust discussion. I think everyone is with their ideas and thoughts on the table. For me, it comes down to that the independent expert consultants rated option two as yes and fully satisfied for representation by population, and yes and fully satisfied for effective representation, the top two principles in any representative democracy. I agree with them.
Ennis went on to detail his concerns with option number one.
The extreme population disparity between Ward 1 and the rest of the wards. The some limited variation is acceptable. The 25% variation established Supreme Court cases, OLT cases, is fairly widely accepted. The variation here is in the 450% to 550% range. It's an incredibly large population disparity. The comparison used was to the federal riding of Labrador. That's a federal example. And so when you give overrepresentation to one federal riding, that's one out of 343 seats. Right now we're talking about one out of five. That's 20% of seats.
Broderick explained why he was voting for option number one.
When I ran for council the first time and was defeated, I remember being at the debate, and I remember vividly the sort of undercurrent at the time was, well, you can't have a mayor and a deputy and somebody else from Amherst Island because that will give them more weight, I guess might have been the terminology. And it was fairly obvious at the time. That's not the type of township I support. I got elected as a representative of Ward 3, but I also have a duty to the whole community. In that sense, I would support option one. I'll be right up front. That's the option I would choose.
Hagedorn shared his reasoning for supporting option number one.
So much of what we do is prescribed by other levels of government, but this item is ours to make our own. In making a decision for Loyalist, I'm going to put it out there, I believe option one is a preferred option. I believe option one takes into account all the growth projections and population calculations, all the surveys completed by residents throughout the study, determining identifiable boundaries and communities of interest, and my historical knowledge into consideration as well as I make this decision. So with the ranking of representation by population and communities of interest being equal, this tells me that the residents prefer option one.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Lennox and Addington County and Loyalist Township are taking the opportunity to thank local volunteers and highlight some of their work this week as it's Volunteer Appreciation Week across Canada. Both the county and township will be highlighting the work of volunteers on their social media pages throughout the week. Warden of Lennox and Addington County, Nathan Townend, noted this year's theme and spoke about the positive impact volunteering has on the community.
During this week, we would like to recognize and celebrate all the ways that volunteers make waves across our county, province, and country. The sharing of time, skills, empathy, and creativity is vital to the well-being of our communities. Through these actions, volunteers contribute exponentially to the quality of life we all strive for. I am pleased to take this opportunity to highlight the value of volunteers and thank them for their positive impact on our county community.
Mayor of Loyalist Township Jim Hagedorn spoke about the dedication, passion, and hard work that volunteers have put forth.
As part of National Volunteer Appreciation Week, we want to recognize the incredible individuals who help make our community shine. So many of the programs, events, and initiatives we enjoy simply would not be possible without the dedication, passion, and the hard work of our volunteers. Throughout this week, we'll be highlighting some of the amazing contributions made by local community members on our social media. To all our volunteers, thank you. You truly make a difference.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. The Sunday Market in Bath is looking to kick off another season in Centennial Park with a new look this year. Market manager Tara Williamson has undertaken a market revitalization and says it's well underway. Williamson noted the focus of supporting and engaging with local farmers.
I think something that's like different for this market this year than from previous years is we have a big focus on farmers. So we have a lot more farm vendors, so people can come and get their local produce, their local maple syrup, flowers. So lots of farmers at this market now.
Williamson explains her background and experience running the Frontenac Farmers Market.
My background is actually in business development. I scale up businesses, usually in the tech space, but just sort of anywhere I can fit in. And then so when Frontenac was struggling, I volunteered my expertise to that market and spearheaded a revitalization of that market in 2022. And that market's rocking now. So a lot of time that was spent on that market previously, I don't need to spend on it because it sort of does its own thing now. So I jumped on board with Bath and I'm going to repeat the same process there that we did in Frontenac.
Williamson highlighted different weekly events that'll take place at the market.
There'll be lots of weekly events. So it like live music will happen at least once a month, but maybe more frequently. We have kids craft days, which are really fun. Some workshops that the various vendors are putting on. We're going to have the local fire department come out one of the weeks and maybe do the Touch the Truck event there. So, yeah, we're working within the community to have special events as well as have our vendors, host different things themselves.
There will be over 35 different vendors with on-site food and drink every week. The Bath Sunday Market runs every Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Centennial Park from May 11th to October 26th. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. As one of the 169 Ontario municipalities to be receiving strong mayor powers, Greater Napanee Council discussed what that will mean for the town. The province announced April 9th that it intends to introduce legislation to expand strong mayor powers to 169 municipalities. The province originally introduced strong mayor powers in 2022 for the cities of Ottawa and Toronto. Through 2023, 44 additional municipalities received these powers. Effective May 1st, 216 of Ontario's 414 single and lower-tier municipalities would have this legislation apply to them. Manager of Legislative Services and Municipal Clerk Jessica Walters explains the intended goal of the legislation.
They have indicated this expansion is being made to single and lower-tier municipalities with councils with seven or more members. And that this is being done with a goal to expand housing in Ontario. This is a big thing for us and for a lot of other municipalities. We assume to be introduced next week in order to go into effect on May 1st. So there are still a few unknowns. And if anything changes, once we see the text of that bill, we will let council know as soon as possible.
Walters detailed staff's plans going forward.
The discussions that, again, we've only had this for a couple of weeks, so it's a little preliminary in our discussions, but I believe the intent of the mayor and of staff is to, as quickly as possible after this May 1 deadline, establish what our normal is going to look like, create that predictability that we've been trying to have as an organization to create routines and establish processes of this is how we as a municipality define how these powers are going to be used. So our goal is to define as much of that quickly with this term of council, establish what normal looks like, bake as much of it into bylaws and policies as we can. Could a new mayor overturn all of that day one, November 16th, 2026? Maybe. We don't know. Nobody's been in that situation yet to know.
Walters noted what they saw as the largest change.
The mayor has to introduce the budget by February 1, after which council has 30 days to vote on amendments to the budget. We do anticipate this to be our largest operational change, and we'll be working to update our public consultation practices to account for this new timeframe.
Walters noted changes that could affect staffing.
The mayor can give direction to members of staff, so this will require an amendment to our council staff relations policy, which currently states that council direction is given by way of resolution, policy, and bylaw. The mayor has the sole authority to appoint and dismiss the CAO unless the mayor chooses to delegate this power back to council. The mayor has the sole authority to appoint and dismiss department heads that are non-statutory positions, i.e. not your clerk, treasurer, fire chief, chief building official, as the legislation says those must be appointed by council, unless the mayor chooses to delegate this back to council or to the CAO. Currently, our bylaw states that council has hiring and firing authority for general managers and statutory positions, and the CAO has authority to manage staffing below that level.
Walters noted how it could change procedure with bylaws and at council meetings.
The mayor can propose a bylaw to support a provincial priority. Currently, this is defined as building new homes and infrastructure to support those homes. If the mayor introduces the bylaw, it only needs 3 out of 7 instead of 4 out of 7 votes to pass, and the mayor counts as one of those votes. The mayor can veto a bylaw if he believes it interferes with a provincial priority. This can either be announced in advance or up to 2 business days after the bylaw is passed. So we'll need to amend our procedure bylaw to account for how that's going to work in practice. The mayor can introduce an item of business at a council meeting and require council to vote on the matter at that meeting, i.e. can't be deferred or request an additional staff report if it advances a provincial priority. So we'll need to amend our procedure bylaw to define how that's going to work.
Walters spoke about the limitations in power as well.
These powers are not absolute. There are additional requirements and limitations on how they're used. So as noted, some of these can be delegated back to council or the CAO. If a power can't be delegated, council can still override it with a 2/3 majority within certain set time limits. Any use of these powers must be made in writing, and typically a justification for how this relates to a provincial priority needs to be attached. The mayor can't use any of these powers if they have a conflict of interest as defined in the Municipal Conflict of Interest Act for the matter under consideration. And these powers can't be used to waive any public notice and public consultation requirements. So, for example, your planning applications, you would still have to have your published notice, your public hearing, your public meeting, you'd still have to go through all of those steps. This couldn't be used to skip any of those steps.
Mayor Terry Richardson weighed in on the situation and noted the changes they'll have to make across the different departments.
This isn't a very easy topic to talk about, especially when you have a group of people sitting around a horseshoe that get along as well as we do. But yes, we do disagree with things. Sometimes we get mad at each other, but by the end of the night, you know what? We're all able to go for something to eat. And life is grand. It's going to be some interesting times. There's going to be some work for Madam Clerk because we now have to adjust procedures, adjust policies, adjust bylaws, add documents onto agendas that have to be signed within 2 or 3 days. So bear with us. We'll wait and see what comes out in the next week or so, and we'll move forward from that.
Councillor Mike Shank voiced his concerns with the strong mayor powers.
We're elected free democracy. We can agree to disagree, but I have grave concerns, not with this council, but when we're gone, that if you have a mayor that comes in and he, you know, and he doesn't believe in free speech of every, listen to every member of councils over the time, and the pressure he does on the staff and the turmoil that he's done with the staff, it can wreck the whole municipality, because any of the good staff is just going to say, see you later, we're out of here. I don't want to see all the work that we've done and the staff that we have lose it. You get a real wrong council and it can destroy a municipality really quick.
Walters noted staff's uncertainty of whether or not they could opt out of receiving the strong mayor powers.
The first round, when it was just Ottawa and Toronto, was not optional. The second round was optional because you had to sign a housing pledge to opt in to receive the powers, and some municipalities chose not to. We have not heard anything about a housing pledge or any opting in or out this time around, so we don't know. Some municipalities have passed motions saying we don't want these powers. We don't know if that is going to have any impact on the bill that gets introduced next week.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Loyalist Township Council granted Hot to Trot Stables a noise exemption for a total of 57 days between the months of April and September. The company will be using some of those days to run shows and events. Owner of Hot to Trot Stables, Megan Desjardins, noted their focus this year towards accommodating neighbors' concerns.
We kind of changed it this year to accommodate our neighbors by going to a Wednesday night jackpot, which would be 2 to 3 hours, and only having 2 weekends this year to accommodate the Friday, Saturday, or the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the Barrel Bash. So this is a little bit more accommodating our neighbors for the sound and allowing them to have our weekends.
Desjardins explained the need for including 57 days on their application for exemption.
We did put in a lot of dates, and then we narrowed it down to the dates that we would like to go forward with as a possibility. The dates are rain dates. They're not every date was going to be a show.
A neighbor who shares a fence with the property, Mary Jo Muir, shared her support for the event.
Last year, we had quite the argument about whether this should happen or not. I can tell you that Ms. Desjardins kept her promise. The noise was kept to a reasonable level. It went from intolerable to a little bit annoying. So a little bit annoying is life in the country. And I'm very impressed with the work she's done. So I looked at all of the dates that she has in mind. Almost all of them are Wednesday evenings from 5 till 9 p.m., which is well within reason. So I can't say that I speak for all of the neighbors, but I can say for myself, I share a fence line with Megan. She's been a great neighbor this year, and I'm very much in support of what she's doing.
Desjardins spoke about the progress they've made towards hosting the event this year.
I didn't receive any complaints, and everything panned out for our decimal readings. And I think that we showed that we were capable of accommodating the show and neighbors at hand.
Councillor Mike Buderick noted the changes since last year and showed his support for the event.
It was a little contentious last year, and there was no pushback. And the fact that a neighbor came in and spoke this evening to say things had improved is a good move forward. And the fact that the applicant respected their neighbors, and it sounds great. So I'm happy to see progress.
Councillor Carol Park showed her support for accommodating neighbors.
So I think it's great that the owners have taken the initiative to make sure that the neighbors are taken care of and their concerns that they had.
Hot to Trot Stables hosts horse shows and events at 1003 Lucas Road in Odessa. They've specified that during these events, riders' names and orders will be announced over the speakers, along with playing music throughout the event. Staff noted the events attract people from all over Eastern Ontario and Quebec who also access businesses within the township while attending. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. A number of Loyalist firefighters were recognized for their efforts in the water rescue that took place in Napanee on March 22nd. They received recognition certificates from MPP Rick Brzee, presented by one of his team members, Mark Handley, in his absence. Loyalist firefighters joined members of Napanee's Emergency Services Network to help rescue a lone occupant of a vehicle that entered the water and became lodged at the top of the falls at Springside Park in Napanee. Adam Irving, Mike Joyce, Jordan McLaughlin, John Shea, Joe Rebecca, Nick DeMarco, and Fire Chief Kent Reedman attended the meeting to receive the certificates. Handley read the first certificate from Brzee, meant for the entire department.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Government of Ontario, I am pleased to extend my sincerest congratulations to Loyalist Township Fire and Emergency Services in recognition of the bravery and dedication expressed during the water rescue that took place at Springside Park on March 22, 2025. Through your skill, determination, and quick response, you demonstrated the true spirit of service, ensuring the safety of those in need. Your efforts are deeply appreciated and will be remembered as a testament to the life-saving mission you uphold.
Staff noted the great risks taken by all those involved in the rescue. Mayor Jim Hagedorn commended the work of firefighters and emergency services personnel.
This is just one example of what our firefighters do every day for our communities. Not only do they do it here, but they do it in other communities as well when they need assistance. And I think that speaks very highly of the firefighters that we do have and all of the EMS across the county that work hard for everyone. And this is a great example of what they do, putting themselves at risk to be able to help out everyone else that is in need. So kudos to all the firefighters, specifically the ones that responded and took it upon themselves to brave that situation as well.
Handley explained Brzee's absence and passed on a personal message.
Unfortunately, he can't be here. He actually had a fall and damaged his knee, and it looks like he's not going to be walking for about 6 weeks. But he did send this message. We want to honor our firefighters in all they do, and most specifically express our appreciation for their expertise in unusual situations, and thank them always for being there for our community, each other, and for supporting our neighboring municipal fire services, like this recent incident with a car in the Napanee River. They say it takes a village, but with fire services, we extend those boundaries to lend a hand to our neighboring communities as well. Thank you. Great job in the rescue.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Loyalist Township will be following strategies set in place by Lennox and Addington County to mitigate the effects of U.S. tariffs. Council's latest motion regarding tariffs has set a standard for how they'll approach procurement and economic development as the situation continues to change. The report noted the effects felt locally in Loyalist Township. Going forward, staff will be investigating the implementation of a Buy Canadian procurement policy, including comparing approaches from other municipalities and completing a solicitor review. Township staff will be working with county staff as well as the other lower-tier municipalities to share information. A report will then be brought back to council at a future meeting. Director of Finance and Treasurer Shelley Stedall noted the township's plan going forward.
This item is fluid. So the report was written on April the 1st. And of course, there's been changes since then. Going forward, the recommendation is to follow the strategies that are outlined with the with Lennox and Addington County, that we follow their lead and work with them, and also that we continue to investigate the implementation of a Buy Canadian procurement policy. Some of the different policies, they've been changing, and we haven't really found one that we've adopted yet. And if we do find something, then we will take it back to the our solicitor to make sure that it is valid, because there's so many tariffs and different trade agreements that we have to make sure we're compliant.
Currently, the township procures over 95% of its goods and services from Canada. However, items such as software, water meters, and other utility supplies, such as UV bulbs, come from the U.S. The report states that U.S. software is the largest ticket item in the township. Staff noted it is the most difficult to change suppliers as well. Changing to other software can result in large acquisition and implementation costs. Most standard software charges are licensing fees. Stedall noted how they'll be informing the public of work that's being done.
The other item is the direction for staff to be directed to send a mailer out to Loyalist Township for the commercial and industrial customers, notifying them of the work that's being done by the county. So that's just to inform the public as to what we are doing.
Councillor Paul Broderick noted the importance of buying Canadian.
I know it's very fluid, and I think we just have to get it out there that we're just a small cog, but we need to push Canadian first.
Deputy Mayor Nathan Townend spoke about the Team Canada approach, noting the upcoming federal election as well.
I think the fluidity of the situation is multiform. It's not simply what's happening south of the border. Obviously, we're in the middle of a federal election. I think what's important to most citizens is that there's a team approach. And obviously, whoever happens to be elected on April 28th will have a, particular strategy. I think the strategy that our municipal associations are taking in Ontario is that whatever those strategies happen to be, that municipalities need to be and want to be a part of the team. And I think that's the important message.
Mayor Jim Hagedorn spoke about the fluidity of the situation and the many factors involved.
The CAO and I had some discussions, and we thought this would be good for us to take a good review of. That's been done, and I agree with the recommendation. There's still a lot of factors in play as well. There are trade agreements that have never been nullified. They've just been walked on a little bit. For lack of a better term. There's so many factors. It's so fluid. I mean, it'll be changed probably by dark tomorrow. So we have to be prepared for anything. So I think this is a good exercise so we know where we are to know where we could go.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Napanee's Arts Advisory Committee is taking over Music by the River, a live music series in Napanee. The committee noted they'll be scaling back to just two performances throughout 2025. Councillor and member of the Arts Advisory Committee Bob Norrie explained the role the committee is taking in running the event. He noted that through other venues that wouldn't affect their budget, there would be more than two performances.
We scaled it right back, or the thinking of it, to just twice, once in July, once in August, two entertainers each time. I've spoken to the sound person. He's charging the same as last year. He's been very fair. And we're looking for local talent. So we've scaled it back to just what we think is good. And we're working closely with Michelle Hauser for other venues. So there will be music down there more than just twice, but that's what the group has come to.
The committee has partnered with a company called Harmony to look after sponsorship for the event. Norrie noted the company is responsible for lining up the sponsorships while the committee pays the artists. Norrie mentioned the committee's small budget and a study they did last year to monitor attendance.
We just have a small budget with a limited budget for advertising as well. We did a study of how many people came last year. Appreciate those that come, but and the amount of people it takes to set up, and you need some of us there. So we just decided we're going to try it twice this year and then piggyback with what happens with Harmony.
CAO Matthew Grant explained how the committee's budget works.
As part of this effort, they are looking to expend a portion of their budget, as yet undisclosed, towards that effort. They do have $5,000 that has been budgeted through the town's municipal budget process. Should there be a desire for any further support from the town, that would come in the form of a recommendation from the committee to council for approval, such as staff time or other resources.
Councillors Angela Hicks and Dave Pinnell showed their support for live music in the area.
People can come by boat and sit and listen to the music.
I just think that any time that we can promote anything around our river, that natural beauty we have in this town, we have to utilize that much more than what we are, and I think we're on the right way. Come on in by boat, tie up and listen to it, and it's just great. So anytime that I can help promote that, I'm all for it.
Councillor Mike Shank was hopeful the event would be able to expand again in the future, noting public input.
I fully support what Bob and the Arts Committee, our advisory committee, is doing. I live so close, right on the water along Highway 33 in Loyalist. They have a bath every weekend. They have, and it's very well attended there. So if it's very well attended here and it's a takeoff here, we can increase those dates. You know what I mean? Because I've had some phone calls where it's saying, Jums, well, why is there only two? Why can't there be five? Well, the committee is the one. I'm not part of that committee. I let the committee go through its process and go from there.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Greater Napanee Arts Advisory Committee will be reintroducing their arts awards after it had been shut down by the pandemic. The awards will run every 2 years with the possibility of moving to an annual event. Staff's report noted the awards are to recognize the efforts of local artists and those that support the local arts and culture scene. There will be several categories with submissions made and vetted by volunteers. Winners will be selected by the committee and awarded during a ceremony at Town Hall. In the event the hall is not available due to renovations, staff recommended making the conference area at the Best and Bash Arena available for the event. Town staff will participate in promotion of the event and its winners. The report noted the impact on staff resources is anticipated to be 4 hours or less. Consideration may also be given to broadening the awards initiative in the future to include recognition of other areas, including heritage. CAO Matthew Grant explained how the town views the event and noted staff's support.
When I take a look at this particular request and the mandate of advisory committees, this would be a corporate endorsed event run by volunteers, but I would see this in the vein as something that the municipality both supports and encourages and would likely have some of our branding on it, as this is an advisory committee that is advising the activities of the town. And staff is quite supportive of the recommendation.
Councillor Bob Norrie highlighted the work of the committee.
This has been discussed since the start of this term. They're very passionate about it. They started what they wanted, large-scale ball in that, and they realized that's possible. So we're starting small. And they just want to recognize local artists as best they can. And they're coming up with some good ideas. So I really appreciate this report. And I know they'll be looking forward to working on that.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News.
This has been North Shore News and Interviews. If you have an idea for a story or want to create stories for this show, consider joining our 100% volunteer team. Contact Amherst Island Radio for more details.